she's just on her way up there because that's where we thought it was most prudent to have her at this time.
A U.S. carrier group continues to sail around East Asia, and a Chinese newspaper tells Pyongyang to halt provocations. Good morning, it's Thursday, April 13th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Steve Miller, and sitting to my right is Jim Stevenson, both of us here in Washington. Also, a special hello to our VOA Asia Facebook listeners. Now, coming up, how do South Koreans feel about the rising tensions in the region? More fallout from the United Airlines video, plus Toyota looks to help the elderly in Japan. It's all on today's VOA Asia. In a phone conversation Wednesday, Chinese President Xi Jinping urged his American counterpart, Donald Trump, to seek a peaceful resolution of tensions with North Korea over its missile and nuclear programs. State television said Mr. Xi stressed Beijing is committed to denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, safeguarding peace and stability, and resolving problems through peaceful means. The call followed Tuesday's tweet by Mr. Trump that North Korea is looking for trouble. He said, quote, "If China decides to help, that would be great. If not, we will solve the problem without them," end quote. Mr. Trump hosted the Chinese leader in a two-day summit last week. A U.S. Navy strike group, including the aircraft carrier Carl Vinson, has been sent to waters off the Korean Peninsula. But Defense Secretary Mattis insisted it wasn't necessarily in response to North Korean tensions.
She's stationed there in the Western Pacific for a reason. She operates freely up and down the Pacific, and she's just on her way up there because that's where we thought it was most prudent to have her at this time. There's not a specific demand signal or specific reason why we're sending her up there.
Meanwhile, sources have told Reuters news agency Japan's Navy will take part in a show of force with the U.S. warships. North Korean state media on Tuesday warned of a nuclear attack at any sign of American aggression. But China's state-run Global Times on Wednesday, referring to Saturday's 105th birthday of North Korean founder Kim Il-sung, called on Pyongyang to avoid conducting a sixth nuclear test, saying the threat of U.S. action is more credible following last week's missile strike on Syria. It threatened to support severe new sanctions if the North engages in provocative behavior. Korea Society Senior Director and Columbia University Professor Stephen Norper tells VOA's Victor Beatty the ball is now in North Korea's court.
Indeed, a sixth nuclear test would be yet further evidence that North Korea is in noncompliance with United Nations Security Council resolutions. Likely, if the past tests are any indication, it will show an increased yield, which means an enhanced technology, enhanced capability, and greater lethality. And that's all cause for concern. Hopefully, North Korea will restrain from that, but there's no guarantee.
President Trump, in his latest tweet, said North Korea is looking for trouble and the United States will solve the problem with or without Beijing's help. What might have been exchanged in terms of concerns about North Korea between Presidents Trump and Xi Jinping?
It's hard to say. The Chinese have made clear that there were no specific agreements, either publicly or privately. The expression has been used that Xi Jinping was circumspect about North Korean issues. However, I think the U.S. read is a little bit different. The U.S. administration expressed that Xi and the Chinese delegation had agreed that the North Koreans are at a dangerous threshold and are showing a capability that will deserve some sort of response. I think the Americans took that as something of a go-ahead by way of more unified concern, but Trump is clearly wanting to see them take stronger measures and make pronouncements or otherwise rein in North Korea. And I guess that's what the tweets indicate, that his expectation is that that happened, and he's promising rewards, at least by way of trade, if China appears to more publicly embrace the American position.
China's U.N. ambassador Tuesday called the Korean situation, quote, tense, repeated China's call for a return to dialogue with North Korea. Reuters reports on Tuesday a fleet of North Korean cargo ships headed home mostly fully laden after China ordered its trading companies to return coal, according to sources with direct knowledge of trade.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. And it does appear that those vessels returned to the port at Nampo. And so that indicates a different behavior on the part of the Chinese, if indeed that was the case. Chinese signaled earlier in the year that it would be reducing or eliminating for the remainder of the year its coal imports. But to actually return vessels laden with coal is a step that perhaps China designed to be demonstrable to the Americans, South Koreans, and others that they were taking stronger measures against North Korea.
Stephen Orper said a heightening or a tightening of sanctions, not military force, will likely be the method to get North Korea back to the negotiating table. He said Secretary of State Rex Tillerson will address the United Nations Security Council later this month, and his remarks about North Korea may provide some clarity on evolving U.S. policy.
These are among the top Asia stories trending on VOANews.com. North Korea to test strength of U.S.-China ties. Pakistan captures five militants linked to Al-Qaeda, IS. A lawyer says Malaysia may have compromised the Kim Jong-nam case. South Koreans not worried by talk of war. Afghan's forces kill up to 50 IS fighters. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on our website, voanews.com, and our Facebook page, VOA Asia. Cambodia's foreign ministry on Wednesday issued a broad rebuttal to accusations, human rights abuses, and political repression that have dogged the rule of Prime Minister Hun Sen for decades. The report, titled "To Tell the Truth," described the allegations, many of which have been backed up by verified evidence documented by local and international investigators and reporters, as a campaign of misinformation led by conspiratorial foreign powers, particularly the United States. It claims that Washington has led a conspiracy to rally NGOs and the opposition in a sustained, quote, distortion of facts, lies, and amplification of minor issues, end quote, aimed at discrediting Hun Sen's government. The report says, quote, Cambodia has been submerged months after months, years after years, by reports from opposition media, biased NGOs, and misinformed institutions, which twisted the historical facts and events in an attempt to portray a negative image of Cambodia and to lay the blame on the government, end quote. The rare outburst follows several recent criticisms of the U.S., NGOs, and critical media outlets that analysts have suggested is the product of Cambodia's growing closeness with China and rising tensions ahead of elections. The report points to U.S. democracy promotion activities in countries such as Ukraine and Honduras as evidence that Cambodia's sovereignty is at stake, even quoting former Congressman Ron Paul as saying the U.S. sends billions of dollars to push regime change overseas. It goes on to praise apparent government sources. It goes on to praise apparent government successes in ending the civil war that lasted until the late 1990s and calls out Western governments for supporting the totalitarian Khmer Rouge regime. The UN Special Rapporteur to Cambodia, Rona Smith, is also singled out for criticism in the report, which labeled a statement she made last year reckless. Tita Kuz, head of local NGO Silaka, which promotes women in politics, said she was disappointed by the foreign ministry's statement.
If everyone keeps pretending that Cambodia is a heaven and its government is good and always truthful, no one will believe it.
Cambodians are due to go to the polls in less than 2 months to choose new local representatives, while a general election is scheduled for 2018. The foreign ministry's paper came 2 weeks after the UN's Office of the High Commissioner on Human Rights released an analysis of increasing restrictions on political freedom. Suk Aisin, a spokesman for Hun Sen's ruling Cambodian People's Party, said the paper was issued because rights groups, civil society, and the media based their reporting on a, quote, subjective mindset and opposing the current government, end quote.
To an outsider's eyes, Cambodia might look more horrible than the Khmer Rouge, but it's not true.
Chaang Vanarath, a lecturer on Asia-Pacific studies at Leeds University, said the government was paranoid following prior U.S. involvement in regime change in the Middle East.
They are frightened that the same thing could happen in Cambodia.
The report accused the country's English-language press, with the notable exception of the fledgling Khmer Times, of printing, quote, unsubstantiated accusations on a daily basis, end quote. The report noted that, quote, printed press is so free that the Cambodia Daily and the Phnom Penh Post, the two main English newspapers with a Khmer version, publish on a daily basis strong criticisms and unsubstantiated accusations against the government, based on pure suspicions, end quote. VOA and Radio Free Asia were also described in the paper as, quote, two diehard pro-opposition radio stations, end quote, that are broadcast nationwide without censorship. Stuart White, acting editor-in-chief of the Phnom Penh Post, the oldest English-language newspaper in the country, said, quote, our mission is, and will continue to be, reporting fairly and without bias and holding those in power to account in the interests of transparency and the public good, end quote. We'd like to thank Khan Sokomono from our VOA Khmer service for filing this story.
Happening now in Asia, China reported 47 human fatalities from the H7N9 bird flu in March. That's down from 61 deaths in February. It also reported 96 cases of human infection of bird flu last month, according to a statement posted by the National Health and Family Planning Commission. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Always glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. Thank you so much for joining us today and listening to our program. Despite the heightened inter-Korean tensions over the North's accelerated nuclear and ballistic missile testing and the increasing talk of a U.S. preemptive strike, few South Koreans are actually concerned by the prospect of imminent conflict. VOA's Brian Patton reports from Seoul that many in the South Korean capital see the increased military posturing as just more political brinksmanship.
Carefree crowds are flocking to Yoido Park in Seoul to see the cherry blossoms at their peak this week. Few here are concerned this region may be on the brink of war.
Well, it is scary to talk about war, as I am from the generation which never experienced war. But I don't really feel fear yet.
North Korea and the United States seem increasingly poised for conflict over Pyongyang's repeated nuclear and ballistic missile tests aimed at developing the capability to target the U.S. mainland. Washington moved a naval strike force led by the USS Carl Vinson into the region over concerns that the North will soon conduct its sixth nuclear test. U.S. President Donald Trump said in a tweet that North Korea was looking for trouble, while Pyongyang warned it would retaliate against American aggression with nuclear weapons specifically targeting both South Korea and the U.S. mainland. The flare-up in tensions, however, is not causing any sense of panic in Seoul, which is situated within range of the North's massive artillery and missile arsenal. Many in South Korea see the current crisis as political theater that has been played out repeatedly in the past.
I have heard similar stories many times before. I think the possibility for war is very low.
Some see the increased U.S. military posturing as a rite of passage for a new American president to demonstrate toughness and resolve.
Every time the U.S. had a new president, we had similar types of crises, but we passed through them without any major struggle.
Ultimately, many in South Korea expect that all sides in the standoff will act with restraint to keep the peace, rather than face the risk of triggering a war that no one can win. Brian Patton, VOA News, Seoul.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
News happens around the clock. And VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour.
This is Joe Palca.
I'm Victor Beatty.
Francis Alonso.
Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on the Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.
This VOA news alert. The Philippines military chief said the nation's forces killed a key commander from the Abu Sayyaf militant group. Authorities are still searching for the remaining militants involved in the firefight that took place on the resort island of Bohol. You can catch all the big stories all day long on our VOA Asia Facebook page. This is VOA Asia. 2 days after a Kentucky physician, Vietnamese-born David Dao, was forcibly removed from his seat Sunday evening on an overbooked United Express flight going from Chicago to Louisville, the chief executive of the airline, Oscar Munoz, issued a public apology. He said no one would be mistreated that way and promised to make a thorough review of United's procedures in handling oversold situations. Video taken by other passengers showed Dao, who refused to be bumped, being dragged down the plane's aisle by airport police. It caused a global firestorm on social media. Reuters said the incident caught the attention of 480 million people on the Chinese social media platform Weibo. Henry Hartfelt is a San Francisco-based travel industry analyst with the Atmosphere Research Group. He said he expects United to survive this public relations disaster, but is surprised at how long and widespread the reaction has been.
I think it shows both the power of social media. I think we all intuitively know that. But I think it also shows the fear many of us have about how airlines treat passengers and how we are now left to wonder what rights, if any, do we really have.
Sure. That's an interesting point you make. U.S. airlines are bumping passengers off flights at the lowest rate since 1995, according to an analysis of federal data by the Reuters news agency. What rights do passengers have when they board an aircraft?
Very few, really. I mean, airlines have a contract of carriage that you agree to when you book your ticket, and they state what their policies are. Very rarely will an airline forcibly remove a passenger from a plane once that person has boarded to accommodate a crew member. In the contract of carriage, if it says you have to give up your seat, you have to give up your seat. It's important to note that the passenger on this flight was not interfering with the crew, was not affecting safety. But there are still issues when the airline tells you to do something, you pretty much have to comply.
Usually these issues are resolved in a very peaceful manner. Did the airline cross a line at all? You're suggesting that maybe it didn't.
Oh, no. United crossed many, many lines. First, they clearly didn't offer enough money for people to give up their seats. Everybody has their price. This is economics 101. The agent had the ability to offer $1,000 or even more than $1,000, and for whatever reason, did not do so. Two, instead of trying to get an airline manager involved, the agent went for the nuclear option, bring in the police. Three, you have to wonder, why did the agent not explain to the crew passengers had boarded and they would have to look into alternative forms of transportation? Why did Republic, the airline that actually employed those flight attendants and pilots that needed to get to Louisville, wait until so late to send these people to the gate to take this flight? And clearly, Chicago law enforcement officer who was involved in this incident, who is the person who struck the passenger, crossed a line by becoming violent.
Henry Hartfelt said that there are many lessons for passengers and air carriers to learn from this incident. He also said United and its alliance partner, Air China, will need to find ways to repair the damage to United's lucrative business in China, where he calls have been made to boycott United flights. But for smartphones and social media, he said he doesn't think this incident would have caused such an uproar. Developing at this hour in Asia, Indonesia's Mount Sinabung on the nation's Sumatra Island has erupted repeatedly in recent days, pumping hot gas and clouds up to 3 kilometers into the sky. Officials have placed a 7-kilometer restricted area around the volcano, which has been erupting almost continuously since 2013. VOA Asia keeps you informed all day on Facebook at VOA Asia. Now in VOA Asia, every year malaria infects well over 200 million people. In 2015, it killed nearly 500,000 people. Thanks to worldwide efforts to fight the mosquito-borne disease, mortality rates have dropped by almost 30% this decade, but there's still a lot to learn. A pair of researchers in Sweden have just discovered that mosquitoes like to bite people who are already carrying the malaria parasite, and that could point the way to a new strategy to stop the spread of the disease. VOA's Kevin Enix reports.
It's one of the mysteries of life. Why do some people wind up on a mosquito's menu and others never seem to get bitten? There are a lot of factors, but two Swedish researchers have found that when it comes to malaria, if you've got it, then mosquitoes want you for dinner.
Most of the people think it's the chance mosquitoes go and bite on infected people by malaria parasite and get the parasite, and then next time they go and bite another person and can transfer the parasite to the next person.
But when offered the choice between uninfected human blood and blood carrying the malaria parasite, mosquitoes choose the malaria blood almost all the time.
I always see when I offer the infected blood to mosquitoes, they are faster.
The team discovered that infected red blood cells give off certain smells or volatiles that attract the mosquitoes. From here, they can begin to research ways to block these smells and break the cycle of infection. Kevin Enix, VOA News, Washington.
And finally, after years of experimenting and refining robotic devices that could help the disabled people walk, another device may be soon available to rehabilitation centers. The Japanese auto company Toyota says that before the end of this year, elderly and infirm people in Japan will be able to have therapy sessions with a walk assist robot. VOA's George Pudich reports.
The elderly and disabled in Japan can already enjoy many robotic devices, from cuddly baby seals providing warmth and comfort to highly sophisticated wheelchairs. Since 2011, Toyota has been testing so-called exoskeletons that could help people with lower limb paralysis walk again. Eiichi Saito is the executive vice president of the Fujita Health University, where the new exoskeleton was tested.
This gives a perfect amount of assistance for rehabilitation. The sensor is so delicate, and it is only possible because of the smartness of this robot. The speed it can calculate a response to a user's degree of paralysis, and how it detects which part of the body it should assist the most.
Building a reliable and affordable exoskeleton required dealing with a host of specific challenges, from stability and weight to power consumption. Toyota's partner robot device called WellWalk has built-in sensors that can help it adjust to individual patients. The robotic system comes with a special treadmill equipped with a safety harness. A large screen helps the patient adjust the gait to be as natural as possible. Toshiyuki Isobe is managing officer at Toyota Motors Corporation.
The reason why we began Partner Robot was because we wanted to do something good for society and people.
In fall of 2017, Toyota plans to start offering the WellWalk system for rent. The projected cost will be steep, about $9,000, with a monthly fee of $3,000. So it will probably be more suitable for rehabilitation centers with larger number of patients. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
Toyota isn't the only company developing exoskeletons for Japan's elderly population. Honda Motor Company built its own walking assist robot legs in 2015, which are based on the technology developed for its Osimo dancing robot. I don't know about you, Jim, but I see these exoskeletons and I think, man, if I was someone who is lifting a lot or working to move things from platforms onto a shipping container, I would love one of these
things. It'd be a lot of fun. I think Tom Cruise started this fad.
I think so, too. Well, you know what? You have been listening to VOA Asia, and whether you're listening to us over the airwaves or on our VOA Asia Facebook, we certainly do appreciate it. You can also download our program as a podcast and take it with you wherever you go. You can also find us on voanews.com. And again, thank you so much for listening to us. Our director today is Tracy Carter. Our engineer is Jim Harmon. And of course, our managing editor is Ms. Diane Gao. I'm Steve Miller in Washington, along with my colleague, Jim Stevenson. You know what? Have a fantastic day.